Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We welcome in Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul joining us live. Kathy, thanks so much. There's a lot to get to, and let's get right to it. School reopenings across the state. It looks like many districts, especially around Western New York, are going with a hybrid model where students would be in, you know, maybe 2 to 3 days a week. What are your concerns, if you have any, with the hybrid model and just kind of what that does to the schedules of, I mean, it's not really a stretch to say, literally everybody across the state, parents, students, teachers, people who are working and have kids in school. Any concerns there?
Well, certainly, and thank you for having me back on the show again, the opportunity to engage with you on these questions. And this has been on our minds since the day school ended last March. Well, how are we going to bring children back and teachers back into the classroom safely? And fully the expectation was we'd be way past this point. And for New York State, we truly are in a much better place than the rest of the nation. That being said, you know, the determination is that we need to have a separation between students. You have to have the 6 feet apart or social distancing, wearing the mask, disinfecting. And we put it in the hands of each school district to follow tough New York State protocols to ensure safety, but to customize it toward your own district. So as you mentioned, many districts have determined that the best way that they can reduce the size of the classroom is to have children in on fewer days and to allow time for disinfecting the classrooms, but also maintaining the connection with the student throughout the week with a hybrid situation where they're doing distance learning. It is not ideal. It is making the best of a very bad situation as we hopefully finish in the final month of the pandemic as we await the news on a vaccination. So that's where we're at, and certainly it's tough on families. This whole process has been tough, trying to make sure your children are educated at home when you all of a sudden were told on a Friday you're not coming back. It's been really hard. And for the businesses, for the city, for their employees to be able to come back, I agree with what your upcoming guest, Daddy Gallagher, who we've spoken to many times about this, the burden on businesses, but we just need everyone to just be as flexible as they can and make accommodations for these families because their kids need to be educated. We can't suspend that. That's really important, and there'll be long-term consequences if we don't do the very best we can in ensuring education continues.
You know, Kathy, we don't know how many families will be sending their kids back. We may not know until the day that school starts. We don't know how many teachers are coming back into the classroom. You know, with a possible later start, what about that 180-day instruction mandate? Is that going to be lifted, or is that hard and fast?
Well, that was actually already suspended in April for the rest of this school year, and I think what you've seen from our state government is tremendous flexibility when it comes to enforcing rules like that. I mean, we need to make sure that, you know, no one asked for this. No school district is intentionally trying to have less than 100 days. We know that. So there's certainly going to be accommodations.
Okay, well, that's good to hear for a lot of school districts across the state who are wondering on that. Are you concerned at all? We've been hearing a lot. We spoke yesterday with Buffalo Teacher Federation President Phil Rumor about teachers either not wanting to go back because of health reasons or uncomfortable. The plan might sit out the beginning of the year. They're pushing for school to be physically pushed back, the return to in-person classes. Are you worried that teachers' unions across the state are going to stand in the way of a return to in-person classes?
Well, I've spoken to the leadership of the teachers' unions nationally and statewide, and they assure me, and I understood this from the beginning, that their teachers do want to get back into the classroom. They just have concerns about their safety, of course, but more importantly, the safety of the children. And so I respect that. That's why when the governor said the reopening of the schools is conditioned on engagement with not just parents but with teachers. So their voices need to be heard on the front end as the districts are finalizing their plans. Again, they gave us a plan that we approved, and we are ready to move forward, but it also has to get the buy-in and the support of the teachers who understand the critical role they play in the education of kids, but also their health and safety is important too. So there's not one size fits all. Everyone's going to have to deal with, each district will have to deal with this individually. But overall, my understanding from talking to the leaders of the teachers, organizations, and unions, they want to get back in the classroom. So they'll do everything they can to make sure that happens. And accommodations need to be made in individual circumstances.
Taking temperatures of students before they come to school. We've heard from a number of school district leaders who say it can't happen at school. It's got to happen before they get on the bus. Is that going to fall onto the bus companies, or is that going to fall on parents?
I haven't seen individual plans, so each school is dealing with it differently. Certainly parents should want to do that, just to protect your own children. You know, you've been able to protect your child in your own home throughout most of this process, and all of a sudden you're either putting them on a bus or they're walking or getting dropped off at school, and you're going to want to make sure that your child does not catch the virus while they're in school the day before. So parents are going to want to do that. But I don't know the answer to whether or not where it's actually going to happen. It's critically important to identifying early any opportunity for infection so we can isolate children and engage the contact tracing if they do have a fever, which also can indicate the infection, get them tested right away, and then find out if it's a positive case, who else they've been exposed to. That's how we'll maintain the continuation of learning. While there could be, yes, there will be some cases, but the question is, can the school district contain it? And that's what we've been working so closely with them throughout this whole process.
We're speaking with Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul. I don't want to jump too far ahead of ourselves. And obviously, this school year is going to be much different in the way that it has to be set up. But we look at the numbers here in Western New York, in our region, very good, continues to be, in the 20s for hospitalizations across the five counties, the 1% infection rate. Does there become a point where looking at the numbers, maybe it is, the school year that starts in the fall of 2021, where it turns now to, we have to go back to school. We have to get kids back in school full time. Is there a certain number at that? Are you saying it has to wait until there's a vaccine, or have we not crossed that bridge to think about it?
No, we've not gotten there yet. And again, we're encouraged by reports that there's our vaccines being developed, but it has to be done safely, and it also has to be widely available. So we don't know if that's going to be the only answer. What we're also watching is not just New York State, and we're very happy with what New Yorkers have accomplished by keeping the numbers low, because as I travel around the state, I've been on the road a great deal, heading off to Watkins Glen and about five counties this afternoon. I've seen everyone complying. I mean, no one walks into a store or a restaurant or even down the streets I'm seeing without wearing a mask. That's the difference between New York and the rest of the nation, which is way behind us. But as long as there's a virus in another state, as long as it's still very much alive in over 30 states that we've had to put on a quarantine list, we are still vulnerable. We are still exposed because we cannot suspend travel and interaction if someone's going to come across the border and not self-declare that they've been from a state that's on our list. So that's why we're still at risk. Those numbers are great, and we wish we could save this. We're nearing the end here, but we don't know whether we'll end up like the other states that thought they were out of the woods, and all of a sudden people's behavior changed. The virus is still very much alive, and all of a sudden you're back to closing things down. We wanted to do it very differently, open things slowly, do it thoughtfully, keep engaging the public too, so they understand how important it is that we don't take our foot off the pedal now as we're trying to come around the bend here. And what happens in other states will have an effect on us. So we're just not prepared to talk about what normal is going to look like at this time.
Another week has gone by, Kathy, and gyms and fitness centers still waiting for any kind of guidance on when they can reopen. Is there any new discussion on that?
They've been weighing in with the plans that they're proposing, and they're under review, as we've said before. And again, this is something the governor has addressed many, many times at his press conferences about of the concern of spread in those environments. And that's not our concern. That's the concern of doctors and epidemiologists and the people who know how this virus spreads in certain environments. And that's that's going to always be what drives our decision making.
There's continued scrutiny on how the state handled nursing homes at the beginning of the outbreak, and more questions as to whether or not the administration's being truthful with us over how many deaths there were in care facilities, given that, especially in the beginning, only residents who died on nursing home property were counted in that count. How can you assure people that the full numbers are going to see the light of day?
Well, certainly everyone knows that we have made protecting residents of nursing homes a priority. We actually shut down visitation back in March. It was very harsh to do that, but we believe that that was an important step towards saving lives. The governor's, there's been many questions of our commissioner of health. He's answered them and is being fully transparent and disclosing the information that we have. And I think no one can question our willingness to go forward, the governor's willingness literally on a daily basis to go before the press, talk to the public, and tell everything we know. And I think that's one of the reasons we are what we are. And I think there's a lot more questions that can be asked. That's fine. People have a right to do that. But we are going to continue fighting this pandemic the way we have, with transparency and openness.
That being said, should we expect that, you know, nursing home death care death total to go above the current reported numbers, which is about 6,600?
I don't know that answer. I suppose you can, predict that that could be an outcome if you're going to count them differently. But certainly, when you're talking about someone who dies in a nursing home, that's a nursing home death. I mean, that's very clear. And other people, we don't know where virus has been contracted from, but we do know that, we believe the vast majority of the cases, based on the data we have, it actually came in because of the workers and people who were coming in from the outside. We are doing our very best to protect that population, but by the time we realized how far it had spread, a lot of people from the community who work in nursing homes or maybe stop by to do some repairs or working in food service. I mean, we knew right from the beginning. We've said that from day one, that our most vulnerable are going to be the nursing home occupants and people with underlying health conditions. And those are the ones we've been working to try and protect from the very beginning.
Thanks for joining us, Kathy. Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.